I want us to open our Bibles tonight in the book of Proverbs in the chapter number 1. The first chapter of the book of Proverbs, we want to read some verses from God's precious and God's holy word. And I want to say a word of thanks to the folks here, the elders and the committee, and also the Reverend Abernethy and the Reverend or Dr. Elliott for the invitation for me to come and share in this gospel mission. It is always a privilege and pleasure to be able to come and preach God's precious word. And I pray that your heart has been stirred and blessed, even as a child of God, through the preaching of God's infallible word. We pray for those that have heard God's word and are still not saved, that this might be the night that God will call you to repentance and bring you to saving faith in his Son. For thank God you don't need to perish. The word of God says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. My friend, remember the other side of that. Whosoever believeth not in him shall perish. And so therefore it's so easy to quote that verse of God's word and try to bring comfort to your heart about that little verse, the most, I suppose, not only the most loved verse and most known verse and perhaps the most popular verse in all of the Bible. And yet men and women don't see the seriousness of it. Whosoever believeth not on him shall perish and not have everlasting life. May God write his word upon our hearts this evening. So we want to turn to God's word here in the book of Proverbs in the chapter number 1. Says in verse number 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the street, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The word simple ones is simply easily led ones or easily influenced ones. My friend, there are many people tonight, and let me tell you, they know the need to be saved, and yet they're easily led, and they're easily influenced, and they turn away and walk away from the Lord Jesus. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love your simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Then the Holy Ghost says, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But ye have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. And I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, says God. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, says God, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I realize the solemnity and seriousness of this moment. Men and women stand at a crossroads of life, those that are not saved. And there's two ways before them lie. No, God, our Heavenly Father, those who are unsaved tonight, they will either continue on the road they're on, the road to destruction and the road to hell, the road to damnation, or they'll turn in repentance and in faith and turn to Jesus Christ and be saved and start tonight on the road to heaven. And oh God, I pray in Jesus' name as we come to the end of this mission, grant that it may not be said of the people of this community, ye would none of my reproof. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, give them wisdom. Wisdom crieth. Wisdom crieth out tonight in this meeting. Oh my God, I pray in Jesus' name that men and women were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Oh God, see it tonight. Bring honor and glory to the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring salvation to this house this night. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. One of our meetings, we looked at John's Gospel, or Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. That familiar verse of God's precious word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as we looked at that passage of God's word, or that text of scripture, we noticed it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we spoke about salvation and the great possibility for precious souls to be gloriously and wonderfully and eternally saved. Then we notice that not only it says they be saved, but they shall be saved. There's the certainty of God's salvation. And then the word of God says, whosoever shall call, there's the scope of it. For thank God there's not a man or a woman, boy or girl in this service, but you fit into the word whosoever, whoever you are. Wherever you're from tonight, whosoever. And then we've got the great word, the substance of it, whosoever shall call. That's what you've got to do. You've got to cry out in the name of the Lord. And thank God, my friend, any man, woman, boy, or girl in the service tonight, whoever you are, shall call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, that's a call that is never, ever in vain. Because the word of God says that if you call, you shall be saved. So I don't know many of you tonight, but I can tell you this. If you take your place as a lost and guilty, hell-deserving sinner and realize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Listen, there's no other way. And I've said that again and again. Listen, you remember these words from this mission. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven amongst men whereby you can be saved. You cannot work your soul to save. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot, my friend, by the vain efforts of man to try to get to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. You must be saved, friend. There's only one Savior. Thank God his name is Jesus. And if you're going to be saved tonight, you've got to come as a sinner to Jesus. And thank God if you come. You humble yourself before God and you come to Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, he'll save you. He'll save you. That's dead on certain. That's 100% guarantee. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how deep you've gone into sin. I don't care how far you've fallen. I want to tell you, my friend, he's able to save from the very guttermost. Thank God to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And there is a cry and a call to God that will never, never be in vain. I want us to come to two calls in this passage of God's word. And friend, I want you to notice there's difference in these two calls. Turn with me, first of all, to verse number 22. It says there, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Verse 23, turn ye at my reproof. And then verse 24, God says, because I have called, ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught my counsel. Ye would have none of my reproofs. Here's a call, my friend, that is often in vain. God says, I have called, and ye have refused. Now tell me, why does God call sinners? Why does God not leave men to a sin? Why does God not say, well, listen, take your sin. You want your sin? Well, just go on in your sin and take the wages of your sin at the end of the journey. Why does God bother, friend? Why does God send a preacher to this place tonight to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ and point you out that God is willing to provide salvation? Why does God bother? Why does God not let you go to hell? Because God loved you. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me, that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. E.L. Moody preached in a great church in Chicago. He was afraid that somehow people would go in and out of his meetings and miss the very fact that God loved the sinner. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. And he was afraid that whilst he was preaching upon the other great teachings and doctrines of God's word, that somehow he would fail to tell them how much God loved them. And so therefore he decided that in the gas jets, on the shades of the gas jets there at the side of each side of the pulpit, he had these words written across those shades. There's God is love. God is love. One night, it was a very cold and wintry night, as an old down and out of the street in Chicago was walking past, he saw a light inside the building. And so therefore he thought he would go in for shelter and perhaps get in out of the cold. And as he went into the place, he happened to look and he saw those words, God is love, God is love. And it gripped his heart and he turned as if he was burned by those words. And he stepped out onto the street again. And as he walked down the street, he mustered to himself, God is love, God is love. If God was a God of love, that means he would love me. But God couldn't love the likes of me. And he argued with himself. And he fought with himself, and friend, unknowing to himself, he just went round the block, and then he came back to the same spot again. And the door was open, but this time there was singing. So therefore he was attracted into the church as he slipped into the back of the pew. That old down and out, that old filthy sinner. And he sat down, and the preacher continued his preaching, and the service continued, and then it came to the end. And people got up and they walked away at the end of the service, but that old man sat in the corner there. And the preacher noticed there was something was happening, because the man was sitting in tears. And so the preacher came down to where he was sitting, and he said, sir, you're waiting behind, you want to speak, tell me. What did I say tonight that moved you to tears? He said, preacher, nothing you said tonight moved me to tears, for I didn't even hear you preach. But he said, you're broken. There's tears running down your cheeks. It seems that your heart is heavy. Tell me what has broken you. He says, it's those words, sir. Tell me, are those words true? God is love. The preacher opened the scriptures and told that poor down and out to the street that God so loved sinners that he sent his darling son to the cross of Calvary, and there Jesus shed his precious blood so that he could be saved. Thank God that night, God not only put the tears of down his cheeks, but thank God, God opened his heart and that man gloriously and wonderfully saved, won by the love of God. Tell me, why does God not let you go into hell? I thank God he didn't let me go. I thank God he followed after me. I thank God as a child had the opportunity of hearing the story of the cross and of the precious blood that Jesus shed for sinners just like me. I thank God for a faithful Sunday school teacher. That faithful Sunday school teacher, the minister didn't tell me it from the pulpit. It was a Sunday school teacher who told me that God loves sinners just like me. That God gave his darling son and sent him to the cross. She told me about the reality of death. She told me about the reality of God's eternity. She told me about the reality of the day when Jesus Christ would return. Friend, God spoke to my heart, and I remember going to bed at night. And I remember as my brother was sleeping, I was lying there in tears. My brother was saved, and my mother was saved, and my sisters were saved, and I wasn't saved. And I prayed as a little child, oh God, please don't let me die tonight, for I'm not ready to go. And then on the 4th of June 1957, God brought me to that little gospel meeting again, and I heard how much God loved me. And that night God stopped me on my tracks, and praise God, I received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He didn't let me go to hell. Why did he bother, friend? Because he loved me. I was a sinner. And he showed me his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a Savior. Tell me, do you realize that you're a sinner tonight? Do you realize that you're a sinner, a lost, guilty sinner? Keep your hands there. Turn to the book of 1 John for a moment, please. 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, and maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight and you're only here because somebody invited you, but my friend, perhaps you're annoyed by the fact that the preacher would dare call you a sinner. I want to tell you, friend, it's nothing to do with a preacher. You have an argument, it's with God. You want to take it up with him and think you're big enough, then, friend, on a day, you'll meet him all right. You'll stand before him. If we say that we have no sin, it says there in verse 8, we deceive ourselves, listen, and the truth is not in us. In other words, we're lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. Is there a man or a woman that wants to lie to their own soul, realizing a few days' time, or a few moments' time, or a few years' time, you're going out into God's eternity, and you're going to lie to your soul about your eternal state and standing before God? It says that we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But it goes deeper than that. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, or we call God, a liar. That's dangerous territory, man. That's very dangerous territory. We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Why does it say that? Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, all have sinned. That's God's diagnosis. And if we say we have not sinned, we lift our puny finger in the face of God and we say, no, God, you're a liar. I haven't sinned. You're walking on dangerous ground, friend. Your feet will slip someday, and your feet will slip you into hell itself. It says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Because God says you're a sinner. Why does God call?
Why does God speak to sinners? Why does God bother about sinners? Because God is a God of love, and God is a God of grace, and God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of pardon, and God is a God of forgiveness.
You say to me, then, why does God send a man to hell? No, my friend, you take yourself to hell. Because you walk past God's love and God's mercy and God's grace and God's pardon and God's forgiveness, and you say, God, I don't want it. You know why? Because, God, I don't need it. I don't need it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet, what? Sinners. I want to tell you tonight that what God's doing in this last night of this mission, friend. He's commending that love to you. He's commending that love to you. And while you're yet a sinner, Christ died for us. He died for sinners. And if you're saying, well, I'm not a sinner, in other words, you're saying this, the cross of Christ, it's nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. And friends, you walk past the love of God displayed at Calvary. But friend, not only why does God call, tell me, how does God call? You know, God calls in different ways. God can call sometimes through sickness. Do you remember Naaman in the Old Testament? Naaman was a great warrior. The king of Syria, he was his captain. He was the greatest in the country, friend, next to the king, and the king thought he was the greatest. But let me tell you, it wasn't until a day happened that Naaman took leprosy that he realized you've got a need. And the little maid that was taken away captive and was in Naaman's house told him about the man of God who would tell him about the God of Israel. It wasn't until sickness came. He had no time for God before that. And let me tell you, friend, some people perhaps on this 10th, God forbid, but it'll take you to lie on your broad of your back for God to put you on the broad of your back, and you're looking up to heavenwards before you'll ever think of your soul's salvation. Because as far as concerned, you're sailing through life, friend, and you don't need God. You've all you need. Your pocket's full. You have your job to go to, you have your family to rear, you have all of these things, you have friends, you have family, maybe fortune. And there's no need of God until someday sickness comes and you realize you're face to face with death and you're not ready. Remember a man in Macclesfield? He worked in the department, or the roads department. A big fella, and I can tell you, you talked to him about the Lord. He didn't want to know. He had no time for the things of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ until he took sick and he got a heart complaint. And he was taken to the Mid-Ulster Hospital, and he was taken into the intensive care unit, and he was lying in the intensive care unit. And I went in to see him, and I talked to him, and his name was Willie Atkinson. And I went into Willie and I started to talk to him about the gospel, and thank God, glory to God, God opened his heart and Willie got gloriously saved. I remember him saying to me, he said, Mr. McRae, he said, tell me this. He said, would you get me a Bible? I need big print because I can't read very well. I need big print. And I went and I got him a big Bible. And I can tell you, here was a man, he was as hard as nails, friend, until he was in the broad of his back. And I thought, what a miracle, because let me tell you, there on his locker, sitting on the top of his locker, was this big Bible, and Willie never had a time for a wee one, never mind a big one. And he didn't care who saw it. And Willie would have got the Bible down and would start to read the Word of God. And I remember going in to see him. My, he was thrilled that he was a child of God. And he says, I'm sorry it has taken me so long to realize that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm glad I've come to Christ. I remember one day going in to see Willie. In the intensive care unit in Mid Ulster Hospital. I remember going in and saying to Willie, Willie, how are you? He says, Mr. McRae, you know, I was talking to the Lord this morning. And I was just saying, I'm so glad that I'm saved. And Lord, I mean this with all my heart. Lord, if you want me to go, I'm ready to go. If you want me to stay, I'm ready to stay. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm ready to do it. And he was bubbling. I says, well, I'm going to get thrown out of this place if I stay much longer. It's the intensive care. We need to get reading the Word. And I started to read God's Word, friend, and this is true. I started to read God's Word, and it says, well, now we'll have a wee time of prayer, and I'll have a wee word of prayer, and I'm going to leave you. And friend, in the middle of the prayer, all I could hear was a... And the nurses came rushing in, and they threw me back, and they threw the curtains back because I had the curtains around me, and they brought the doctor in, and they brought the machinery in that they tried to resuscitate Willie. And they said, could you please give us, we need to look after this man. And they worked for him a while, and then they came out and said, Mr. McRae, Willie's gone. And friend, the last words he said to me was this. I was just talking to the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, if you want me to stay, I'm happy to stay. If you want me to go, I'm happy to go. Lord, whatever you want, I'm happy to do it. And then God said, well, it's time to go. Thank God he was saved. You see, God spoke through sickness. And then maybe it's not your sickness, but maybe it's somebody else's that's close to you. You see, God not only speaks through sickness, God speaks through death, sorrow. And sometimes, let me tell you, God in mercy has got to put his hand upon someone that's close to you. Because as far as you're concerned, yes, they are ready to go. I was telling you the other night, David's heart was broken over Absalom. Do you know why, friend? He said, oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Let me tell you the truth was this, friend. David was ready to go and Absalom wasn't. And David would have gladly have died in Absalom's place. And maybe God has taken a loved one of yours, friend, but let me tell you, God has been good because he's left you. What if God had taken you instead of them? What if God had said to you, this night thy soul shall be required of thee? Let me tell you, God calls through sorrow. Remember one of my elders from my congregation, he said he was standing at the side of a grave and he heard the thud of the clay going down on the top of the coffin. And he said, I was unsaved in those days, Mr. McRae. And when I heard the thud of the clay going down on the top of the coffin, I realized that could have been me and I'd been in hell. But God was good to me. Yes, God calls through sickness. God calls through sorrow. God calls through the saints of God. I'm talking about perhaps a Sabbath school teacher. God spoke to my heart through a Sabbath school teacher. Maybe it's through a godly mother. And maybe there's young lads in this meeting tonight, and let me tell you this, there's never a night before your mother closes her eyes and goes to sleep. There's never a night that her heart is broken over your soul and you're a wayward boy or you're a wayward girl. You've never thought of the tears that you've broken your mother's heart with. It's just shame. But those prayers, those tears stand between you and hell, friend, because God's kept you here through the prayers of a loving saint of God. God calls through scriptures. Maybe it's a gospel tract. Somebody has handed you a gospel tract. I tell you what grieves me, friend, I tell you. I've gone out in the 12th of July and I've gone out on the last Saturday of August and all the rest of it. And have you ever seen it? Let me tell you, somebody hands people gospel tracts and you see those people and let me tell you, they throw it down on the ground and they walk over it. And I tell you, they'll answer to God for it. Don't you think you'll throw the scriptures away, friend, because that little gospel tract's warning you about your soul's salvation. God speaks through a gospel tract. God speaks through a verse of scriptures. God speaks through a faithful servant. Over my pulpit in Macrofelt, when we were building the church there, they said, "Preacher, what will we put on the pulpit wall?" I said, "We're putting a text above the pulpit, and it says, 'Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.'" And when the day comes for me to step down the pulpit and walk out of it, friend, and any man ever steps into those pulpit, up those steps, I want to tell you, the curse of God will be upon any man that stands in that pulpit and never preaches the gospel, for it's over his head. And they can't take it down because it's built in brick. They'll have to tear the wall down. And I say this honestly before God, friend. I would rather God would tear the last brick down in that place, not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Woe is unto me! And I'll tell you, every preacher that stands in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, and he lifts a Sunday at the end of the month, and he doesn't tell his congregation that they're sinners and they're going to hell without Jesus Christ, and that God loves them and God can save them, that man will answer to God for his unfaithfulness. Woe is unto me. That's what the book says. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. What an awful thing. To stand in the pulpit and to look into the eyes of a congregation. You can sit and you can drink tea with them. You can have friendship with them and all the rest of them. And look into their eyes, friend, and listen, take their money and never tell them that they're headed to eternity. And if they die without Jesus Christ, they'll be lost forever. And you've deluded them. And they said, "Well, my minister doesn't tell me that." And I listen to him. Rather than you. But there's a woe of God. How does God call sinners? He calls them through sickness. He calls them through sorrow. He calls them through servants. He calls them through scriptures. You know what God says here? He says, "I have stretched out my hand." And friend, let me tell you, as God's Son stretches out his hand to you, sinner, remember, there's the marks of Calvary in those hands. They're nail-printed hands. He went to the cross. He shed his precious blood that you might redeem. "I have stretched out my hand," says God, "and no man regarded." Very quickly, that brings me not only to the opportunity, the iniquity. It says, "I have called," verse 24, "but ye have refused." "I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded it." In other words, God reached out his hand of love and mercy, friend, and you didn't take it. You didn't take it under your notice. Totally indifferent to it, ignorant of it. Disrespectfully set it at naught. You know what that means? You set my counsel at naught. That means you pushed it aside. You pushed it aside as if God wasn't speaking at all.
See, I wouldn't do that. I'm going to tell you, my friend, that's exactly what you're doing without the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times has God called you? How many times has God spoken to you? When your heart has been broken, perhaps you've been brought. You've been almost like Agrippa. You've been almost persuaded. And yet you've turned and you walked away from him. And you're still unsaved tonight.
After all those years of opportunity, all those years of calling, all those years that God has given you to be saved, and yet you've walked away from Christ, and tonight, before God, you're still unsaved. And you pushed aside, you would have none. You didn't want it. You know what the Bible says? "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck." Some years ago, there was a, not far from us, there was a dear woman. She and her husband had three little children. Everything seemed to be going well, and then one day, Mommy left the home. went off with another man. Just leave me nippers. You see, how could a mother walk out with her children that she gave birth to, but she did. That husband loved her with all his heart. He wanted her to come back. He begged her. He pleaded with her so many times, but she did not want to see him. She did not want to know him, and she never contradicted him concerning her children again. It was a Sunday afternoon. He heard that his wife was down at this certain place, and it was a sunny Sunday afternoon, walking hand in hand with her new lover. He got the children into the back of the car, and he put them into the back of the car, and then he rode to the place, and sure enough, he could see her in the distance. He stopped the car and he said, "Now, children, sit you there. I don't want you to leave the car, but Daddy has just got something to do." And he went down, and he walked and confronted the two of them as they were walking there, hand in hand. And the tears in his eyes, he wasn't there in a confrontation. He was there with a broken heart. And he begged her. He begged her to come home. He said, I love you with all my heart, and I beg you to come home." And as he was standing doing that, friend, unknown to that father, the three children opened the door of the car, and they happened to see their mother, and they ran as fast as their legs could carry them. And they ran down to where Mommy was, standing with her newfound lover. And they said, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And they ran and they caught a hold of Mommy's legs. And they cried, "Mommy, please, Mommy, come home." A friend of mine was standing there watching that scene, and he said, "I never would have believed it, only I saw it." And that woman pushed her three children away. She turned her back and she walked hand in hand in front of her children's eyes with her newfound lover. She walked away from her children. Heart. Who would do it, friend? And the children loved their mommy. But before you point the finger, friend, God loved you enough that he gave his darling son to the cross and shed his precious blood to save you from your sin. And you've walked away from for years, as if he didn't count.
You had none of his reproof. You didn't want to listen to what he had to say. He said, I have called, says God. He refused.
Why would you do that, friend? Why does a sinner do that? Sometimes it's pride. Too proud to admit he's a sinner. Oh yes, tell that to the down and out. Tell that to the drunkard. Tell that to the gambler. Tell that to the rascal. Or the murderer. But I'm all right, Jack. No, friend, you're not. So you're a sinner like them. Your sin separated you from God. But you're too proud. You're up on the tree of pride. And when the Lord Jesus came to the tree where Zacchaeus was up, he says, "Zacchaeus, come on down. Get down." And friend, before the Lord ever went home with Zacchaeus, he had to get out of the tree. And you've got out of the tree of your pride and take your place and humble yourself before God, because you're a sinner. And you need God's salvation. And you're no different than anyone else, for Romans 3:22 says, there is no difference. We're all of sin. Right. Is that what's keeping you from Christ? Is that what's making you refuse? Listen, is it people? Is it people? Is that what's keeping you from the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember Pilate? Pilate stood before the crowd and he cried out, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" He asked them, but he realized, "What shall I do?" But he listened to the crowd. Look, the crowd says, "Crucify him." You ask the crowd tonight, friend, let me tell you out there in Portadown, go down the streets and ask the people down the street, "What should you do with Jesus Christ?" And they'll laugh at you and say, "Listen, don't be a fool. Don't listen to that stuff." And there's many a man, the influence of the crowd, he's taken his sin and he's gone to hell, influenced by others. Right? People? Pleasures? I'm not going to give up my phone. Let me tell you, friend. Really what you're saying. Listen, let's get to the bottom line here. I'm not giving up my sin. But I want to tell you, this book says the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And I'll guarantee you, they'll not last. Oh yes, the pleasures. Let no person say there's no pleasures in sin. Yes, there are. There are pleasures in sin. My, the devil, let me tell you this. The young person's walking down the street, and I'll tell you, he walks past the pub, and what does he hear inside? The music. And the tinkling of the glasses, and the chatter, and the fun, and the laughter. It all seems fun, friend. Let me tell you what it doesn't tell you. The car crash. The broken bodies, the broken homes, the split up families. No, they don't put that on the television screen when they're advertising the booze. It's the fun. But let me tell you, friend, in the moment of time, God can say, "Party's over. You just fine." God has the power to say it. Yeah. God's the power. For it's in Him we live and move and have our very being. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And God can say, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Yes, God's at the final say. With your pleasures? Or is it possessions? You see, preacher, if I was to come to Christ, there's business deals I couldn't do. But I like my possessions, I like my money. And I have to do some things, you know, to get it. I maybe have to do it a crooked way. Let me tell you, friend. It's about time you woke up, smelt the coffee. Because you're leaving your possessions behind. There's not one of them go with you in the coffin. You go down the road. Maybe it's the past. Say, "Preacher, but if you knew my past, I would come to Christ, but what about my past?" Let me tell you this, my friend. There is not one in this meeting tonight, not one, but has a past. But thank God, your sins and iniquities, says God, will I remember no more. For God can blot out your sinful past. The blood of Jesus, hallelujah! The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Yes, the opportunity, the iniquity you've refused. Here's my last thought. The tragedy. If you look at verse 28. "Then shall they call upon me. You see, friend, the first was this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a call that's never in vain. The second in verse 24, I have called and ye have refused. That is often in vain, but here's a call that's always in vain. God says, there come a day and ye shall call, but I will not answer. My spirit shall not always strive with man. In John 8, Jesus says, I go my way. And friend, God has called you, and God is calling you to himself tonight. And this is the last night of a gospel mission. And God's given you an opportunity to come tonight. He's calling you, sinner. He's calling you. He has called you many times before. And yet he stands outside your door. And yet you turn, and you walk away. And you say, not tonight, God, and not today. You say, like Felix of old, when I have a convenient season, God, I'll call you. When I get, it's my day. And God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember a woman in our meeting one night. She had come several times to our meeting. Her daughter was a lovely Christian woman. Her mother was hardened with religion. She was stuck with religion, but she had no salvation. She came to the meetings, and one night the Spirit of God took a deal with that woman's heart. And you know, when I was standing at the door, shaking hands at the door after the meeting was over, I noticed this woman and her daughter going out through the door, and I noticed the woman standing doing this with a finger under her daughter's nose. And I said, there's something going on there. And I found out afterwards. The mother said to her daughter these words. She said, listen, you'll never make a fool of me again. Never again. She says, Mom, what do you mean? She says, you'll never make a fool of me again. He says, you told that preacher all about me tonight. And he was preaching to me. She says, Mommy, I never told the preacher one thing. I never spoke to him about you at all. She says, you did. And I want to tell you, I'll never be back. That. And it's nothing to do with preaching. It's the Spirit of God. God knew all about that woman. That daughter had not spoken to me about her mother, but the Holy Ghost knew all about her. And she was under conviction of sin, and my friend, she rebelled. You see, she hardened her neck. She wouldn't bow. She wouldn't come to Jesus Christ. She says, I'll never be back. And then that was true. She never was. But a few weeks after that, a wee woman lived on her own, and during the night hours, one night as she lay in bed asleep, a visitor came, invaded her house. The pale rider stopped at her door, and death stepped in through the door. And that night, the angel of death just reached for the vital cords of that wee woman as she lay in the bed and served her the summons of arrest for eternity. She never was back. But friends, she's in eternity. And I'll tell you this, she'd love to get back. She'd love for another gospel meeting. She'd love for a meeting like this. She'd love to hear the songs of Zion sung again, friend, and the gospel invitation given. But those days are past. For he that hardeneth his neck, the Bible says, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. What an awful tragedy. I, of course, is God. But there'll come a day when you'll call. God says, I did not answer. And in God's eternity, the rich man cried in hell, have mercy, but mercy was past.
a drop of cold water to cool my tongue in the fires of hell.
But the answer was nay. My spirit shall not always strive with man. There is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. He lives, he feels that all is well and all his fears are calmed. He lives and dies and he goes to hell. Not only doomed, but damned. God's final goal. What about it tonight? Is this God's final call to you, Tim? What's your answer? I don't answer my McRae friend. Robert Nappy. I'll drag you. That has nothing to do with us. But you'll answer him. What shall I do then with Jesus? This is called Christ. You will accept or you will reject, but you will do something tonight. It's invitation time.